Bam.
I have erectile dysfunction. He isn't losing his hair.
He isn't losing his hair. I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah. Holy. Dom just takes everything.
Take it all.
Every Hims product they offer.
Yeah.
Give it to me.
Just to prevent anything from happening.
Yeah, you know how you go to the gas station, you get every soda in one cup?
Oh, yeah. It's called a suicide.
Right. I'm alive.
You're alive?
An unalive. You can go to the gas station and give me an unalive.
Sir, leave.
Dude, that'd be an awesome energy drink name.
Unalive. Yeah. I think we're cooking.
I'm going to run and grab an unalive.
The what now?
The what now?
Guys, I got to go to the gas station and kill myself.
Energy drink brand Kill Yourself is changing their name after
what? Why?
Sudden controversy.
Sudden controversy.
What happened?
The left woke strikes again.
The left woke?
The woke mob, I
the
think.
The woke mob.
The left woke.
That's awesome. The left woke is so crazy.
The left woke is back at it again.
I just want my Kill Yourself energy drink.
If I don't get my Kill Yourself in the morning.
I kill myself.
Starting the day with a cup of Kill Yourself.
Yeah.
I'm saying.
You gotta start your day with a cup of Kill Yourself. Goddamn. Fuck.
An I'm gay energy drink.
An I'm gay energy drink.
Sales are down.
You drink Folgers, you're a fucking pussy.
You sound like someone right now. I can't tell who it is.
If you wake up in the morning, you don't get yourself a cup of Kill Yourself.
Oh, you sound like the guy, the older guy with the big mustache.
Jesse Sam Ventura? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do sound like Jesse Ventura. You do a pretty good Jesse Ventura.
I don't know who the fuck that is.
I saw a YouTube video that described his inside voice as an idling Harley Davidson.
You know, like so many C actors by name.
Do I?
Yes. Oh, every movie we're watching, you're like, oh, that's Jesse Ventura. And I'm like,
I couldn't even think of that.
We do watch a lot of Jesse Ventura movies. Now you're right.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah.
I also know like F tier. Like, I know like Z-listers pretty well.
Mm. By name. You're like, oh, you mean this? I'm like, no, that's just the old guy country accent mustache.
This is the only movie this guy's ever been in.
And you know them by name.
What was the most recent one when we watched Rebel Ridge?
When we watched Rebel Ridge, but Rebel Ridge. oddly enough, you said Roy from The Office, but you don't know his name.
No, which is funny. I don't immediately know his name, but he's so recognizable as Roy from The Office.
I think you knew the lead detective, the bad guy,
the police chief.
Yeah,
yeah, it's Don Johnson.
Okay,
how do you not know who Don Johnson is?
I know him as, hey, that guy looks familiar.
Damn.
And then the lead in Blue Ruin, you knew by name.
Oh, Macon Blair?
Yeah.
Well, that's only because I've seen that movie a lot.
Right.
And he's also in
Green Room. That's like one of your favorite movies.
I love Don Johnson.
Yeah, like Carson knows a lot of these people that are like, oh, I know him. I don't know his name, but I know him. And Carson's like, I know exactly who this is.
I know exactly who that motherfucker is.
That's cool.
That's Don Johnson.
Yeah. I mean,
sounds like a fake name, but
remember
that's cool.
Don John starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
I saw that in theaters.
Damn. Did you really? Yeah. Why?
I don't know,
because I was like 18 and I'm like, this movie's going to show something. I'm excited.
I'm going to see Scarlett Johansson's boobs.
Don't show my mom. Don't tell my mom I saw this movie.
I remember.
Hey, can we cut this?
Can we get this?
That was right after Looper came out.
Good movie.
What a good movie. I love that movie. But Joseph Gordon-Levitt was like on his little like renaissance of being a lead actor in things.
Mm-hmm.
I am almost positive Don John killed that.
Probably.
He was in a heartfelt comedy with Seth Rogen called 50-50.
Which is a pretty good movie.
I haven't seen
pretty
that.
Pretty good movie.
See
he it. Was in Looper. And he was in another thing that was pretty big. And everyone was
when
like,
was Inception?
Oh, he was in Dark Knight Rises also.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he was like an A-lister at that time. Like, he was like the guy.
Was Inception a couple years after that then?
Inception's 2014.
2010.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Shut up, really?
Yeah. Inception's 2010.
Oh my God, I'm old.
So that must have been around the same time.
Don John, I feel like, is like 2015 or 2016.
Later?
It's 2013.
How do you know that?
How the fuck? How are you doing this?
I don't know.
When's Looper? 2012?
Either 2011 or 2012.
Hmm. 2012 makes sense. Mm-hmm. 2012 makes sense for Looper.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don John ruined whatever he had. And then he played Edward Snowden. Yeah. And did the voice the entire time. And yeah. Everyone was like, I don't know about this.
This movie needs to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, you know what's funny about Don John is...
it's when, so bad.
I haven't seen it.
So it's not fun.
But,
or funny.
When he was developing that movie, because he directed it too. when he was developing that movie, he was telling Christopher Nolan about it. And Christopher Nolan was like, don't fucking do that movie. And then he did it. And it panned out exactly how Christopher Nolan said it was.
You think he texted him like, hey, Chris, would love your feedback here.
Hey, Chris, what do you think about this movie that I'm doing?
Sea Dog. Do you think they have nicknames for each other?
Yo, what's up, Sea Dog? What do you think about this movie where I play a porn addict? And, then, and he's like, what? Kill yourself. Are you stupid? And then he was stupid, and it didn't work out. Oh, yeah, he was in 500 Days of Summer, too, in 2009.
500 Days of Summer 2?
No.
Yeah.
500 Days of Summer as well.
Oh.
Yeah. Can I say something?
What's up?
I don't like that movie at all.
Really?
I don't like 500 Days of Summer at all.
What do you mean you don't like it?
I mean, I like...
You don't like how it makes you feel, or you don't like the movie? You think the movie's
bad? I think the movie's bad.
Really? I think that movie's great. I think that's a great movie.
I don't like that movie at all. 500
Days of Summer?
A girl...
Too bad...
I couldn't even fake liking that movie for a girl. Like that's how much I did.
The
not
movie
like it.
Is two people that are both equally
cringe.
Bad at living.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you just meant the lead actors being equally cringe, and I was
no. They're not,
with
I
that.
Mean, they're not equally. I mean, well, Zoe plays, you know, every character like that.
Yeah,
but
sure.
She innovated that space. She can get.
She was the manic
she's
pixie.
So adorable.
Yeah.
So true.
But I think both those characters in those movies, like. They lack emotional maturity, yeah. Which is the whole point.
Yeah.
You know,
good movie.
Something okay. funny about Joseph right. Gordon-Levitt's film career after Don John is that after a while, it gets to the point where the only like big movies he's in are Rian Johnson's movies as cameos. Because like after Don John, like it didn't immediately kill it because like he was in Sin City 2. Which also didn't do that well. And he was in,
I wouldn't call that a big movie at all.
I mean, the first one was like a cult classic or whatever.
Yeah.
And
was
like, there was
Schneider?
No.
No, that's a Robert Rodriguez.
Sin City?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. And then...
Clive Owen's in it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Goddamn, you are right. I do know a lot of actors.
That's what I'm saying.
You're not like, Clive Owen. Like
you don't
know
Clive Owens?
You don't
no.
know Clive Owen, you fucking moron? He... cameoed in the interview that fucking
true.
That Seth Rogen
the Franco North
movie.
Korea mm-hmm. comedy yeah
facts
and then
the one where Eminem comes out as gay and it's the funniest part
remember,
of the movie
remember yeah. when that movie came out and everyone was like the world is ending they're gonna nuke us
because of this Seth Rogen comedy and yeah. then it's like they pulled it from theaters for because of that
they did
yeah,
yeah
they were so scared
Netflix because of it
shit was crazy but and then like the lead roles that he had after that were The Walk, which didn't do that great. I saw it. I thought it was pretty good when
What's
I
the
was
walk?
15. It's a biopic. It's a Robert Zemeckis biopic about the guy who tightrope walked between
oh.
the Twin Towers.
Oh, I do remember that movie. Does he have a French accent in it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to watch that.
General consensus was that he did pretty good and the rest of the movie is just okay.
Word.
But then he was in this this comedy called The Night Before starring Seth Rogen and Anthony Mackie as well. Like he was one of the three.
I hate Anthony Mackie.
Really?
Yo, what?
I hate him.
Damn.
He's also a dick in person.
Oh, okay.
Oh, did you work with him?
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Oh, off-pod story.
Big dick. Well, I mean...
It just, a penis? He had a big penis?
He has a huge cock. It's crazy.
Like, we can cut this, right?
I can't. No. Like,
we're live.
If you want me to, I can.
Like, no, I was. No. That was just a joke.
That okay. was a little joke.
But and then he was in Snowden, and since then, it's been... Baron.
Wow.
Like, he's in Snowden, and then he cameos in The Last Jedi. He's in, like...
Wait, what?
Yeah. Because it's a Rian Johnson movie.
I missed that.
No.
Well, I think it's like a voice cameo because that's all like he does. Like he voice cameos and vibes out.
Yeah. All the like Star Wars voice cameos are just famous people being stormtroopers. It's one of my least favorite parts of the sequel trilogy. It's very annoying.
Yeah.
Although that was my favorite sequel trilogy.
The Last Jedi?
Yep. Yeah. Thought it was awesome.
It's the only like good movie, basically. Yep.
I came to the conclusion the other day that I don't like any of them.
That's fine.
That's a fair take as well.
It's the middle movie in a terrible trilogy.
But at least it did something.
Yeah.
The Force Awakens was just a New Hope repackaged. The safest movie.
And The Rise of Skywalker is the worst movie I've ever seen.
I remember
I did go see it on mushrooms the second time, though, and that was awesome.
Sounds sick.
I think it's crazy that the reaction to The Last Jedi has effectively killed cinema, basically.
Yeah, it's kind pretty of. Funny.
Like, I don't...
Thanks, Kathleen Kennedy. You really had it on lock there.
Not even, like, yeah, because, like, the fans were like, what the frickin' hell? There's things that are challenging me in this movie and things that I don't like.
I don't like it, I don't like it.
It's not fucking little baby cinema, even though it's still a slop movie. Yeah. It's like the most challenging a slop movie could possibly be. And then they were like, I'm killing myself. So then
somehow Palpatine has returned.
Now somehow Palpatine's returned.
That is the funniest part of that movie.
Did you guys see that they're doing... like a few big studios are putting together super fan focus groups to screen
that.
A movie and get their opinion on whether or not fans will get mad at it.
I saw that tweet.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Disgusting.
Just make a movie.
And you can trace that back to The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
I wonder if Marvel's doing that.
Yeah.
They are.
That's what it was.
It's Marvel.
That new
Disney.
Captain America movie looks like dog shit.
I think the trailer is put together pretty well. I like the like flashing text thing that they're doing.
I also just love how we know that Harrison Ford does not want to be in this movie and he's just getting a check and then he's going to be in the movie and.
Yeah.
The foreseeable other movies, I guess, right? Unless he dies.
I mean,
unless Red Hulk gets capped movie one.
Yeah. Would not be out of character for the MCU to cap a villain movie one.
They love killing off interesting things.
They love not having recurring villains.
Yeah.
Unless it's Loki.
I like Loki though.
I do too.
What a good show. What a good villain.
Great
what a good
show.
Character.
Yeah. It's so crazy that Jonathan
the other
Majors
characters
is...
could learn from Loki. From
I know.
Being so interesting.
I think it's crazy that season two just has Jonathan Majors doing one of the worst performances he's ever done for a lot of it.
Yeah. And then he's gone.
And then he's gone.
Yeah. Not a
They're like,
again.
All right, well.
I love Loki season two, but man.
Wait, why is he gone? No, I'm kidding.
sorry, off. Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
bad
like,
radio.
Yeah,
Jonathan Majors like was not a particularly interesting villain. Kang in the comics, I don't really like anyway.
Yeah.
I think that Doctor Doom move that they made was probably the best thing they could have done to reignite interest. I'm not saying it's gonna be good, but
I think bringing Doctor Doom as the big villain was cool, but not RDJ.
Yeah,
it might be cool. I don't know.
I think
we haven't seen the movie yet.
Another multiverse thing, I guess.
Oh yeah, doing the multiverse was a huge fucking mistake.
Have you rewatched?
Which sucks because I was so excited about it. I was like, this is gonna be awesome.
Yeah. Have you rewatched the new like the late Spider-Man No Way Home like at home?
Yeah,
it is weird to rewatch not in theaters because I saw it twice, the like opening night and then the day after. And like all like the pausing for laughter is so apparent at home when there's just no one, and it's paced really weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I noticed it being a weirdly paced movie the first time I saw it. And then I think the second time may have been me and my girlfriend doing a watch, and I think she was kind of like, I'm tired. She was like, I think we can finish this tomorrow.
It was so good.
I don't know if we ever did.
It was so good, like, in theaters, like, the first time you watch it, and then like, I feel like it has no rewatchability. I'm just nervous.
I think the good stuff that's there is still good enough to kind of excuse that, but...
I saw Doctor Strange, like, that second Doctor Strange movie, like, three times. I thought it was pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
I really liked that movie. Yeah. I don't know. It felt cool. Mm-hmm. I liked that Sam Raimi got asked to throw the multiverse in, and he was like, cool, but I'm killing everybody.
Yeah.
Essentially.
I thought that was dope.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the funniest way to do that.
Yeah.
He did bring, like, a cool, like, horror kind of aspect to it. It was kind of scary.
He's goated.
Yeah. He is fucking
goated. He's goated.
Shit.
They need a... Next time they have him do a movie, because they're... I think they're trying to get him to direct another MCU movie. I think they just need to let him do whatever he wants. I think you can trace the bad stuff in Doctor Strange 2 to studio interference.
Is there a rumor going around that they're just going to do a, like, fourth Tobey Maguire movie and just make it, like, inexplicable?
I think people want that, but I don't think it's happening.
No,
I would love it.
People want that.
I want it so bad.
Sam Raimi and Tobey Maguire have been, like, sure, like, if there's a good script, but, like, I don't think they're working on a script. I think what would be more likely is another Andrew Garfield, because Sony is
I love that guy.
Oh, yeah, he's great. But
he's,
like,
awesome.
Sony is, like, actively kind of floundering.
Good Spider-Man, bad Peter Parker.
Oh, disagree. I think he's good at both. I think he's equally
good. He's too
good at
cool
both.
To be Peter Parker.
Disagree.
But
I think
it works in that
fuck.
It works in that universe. And, like, he's
I honestly think Tom nerd. Holland's too cool to be Peter Parker.
No. He also
reminds me too much of a guy I hate. So.
There is that. Sick.
It's you.
Oh.
Oh, okay. I think
Yeah, God.
Cool.
I love the amount of silence in this episode. It's awesome.
Cool.
Yeah,
but
cool.
Yeah, I think Sony is more likely to bring back Andrew Garfield for an Amazing Spider-Man 3 because they're, like, actively floundering and, like, putting out dog shit movie after dog shit movie that doesn't do very well. Like, they have Venom, but, like, that's apparently going to be the last Venom movie. And, like,
I haven't seen a single Venom movie.
They're so funny.
I saw the first one, and
I'm excited to, like, binge watch all of them and then go see 3.
Mm-hmm.
There's 3 looks ridiculous.
There's a part in the first one where, you got a low battery notification, Dawson.
How? I'm fucking plugged in.
I don't know.
What were we talking about?
That was movie talk.
Oh, okay. I guess we can get to, welcome back to This Ain't a Scene, It's a Podcast.
Finally introing.
I'm one of your hosts, Dawson. I'm here with two more he-him brothers. That's how I've been introducing the pronouns.
Yeah,
it's just
that's,
all
that's,
guys.
That's good.
But yeah, the he him triplets. That's what we are this episode. I think I bumped the camera a little bit, but actually no, I'm fine. Never mind. Anyway, this is a Fall Out Boy podcast, allegedly.
Yeah.
Today we have a song to talk about, as we do every week. What's it called?
Of all the gin joints in all the world.
And here's a snippet of it. And it's over.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Great
wow.
song.
Wow. So epic.
Legitimately great song.
Yeah.
You were playing this off of your shitty little laptop speakers, and I was like, man, this song rocks even when I can't hear most of the frequencies.
Yep.
I went through a lot of phases with I think every song on this record when I was a kid. And I remember this song being a phase that I was stuck in for a little while where I just would keep replaying this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is an all-timer for me. This one is just like whatever standard that pop punk was at the time or just rock music in general. This is top tier of its era.
It's,
I fucking love this song.
It's just awesome that this also, like, in the context of the record, it comes right after Lawyer.
Yeah.
So
what are you talking about?
Our Lawyer.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I was like, because they have two songs.
It's track two.
And I was like, this is not on Infinity. And then I remembered Our Lawyer.
But, like, in the context of the record, it's like, oh, that song is awesome. What's next? And then it's this.
It's even better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's like got like such a trippy like feel to it too, like off the bat. Like it's kind of got like a little swing to it. It's like it's interesting.
Yeah.
I honestly forget about this song because Dance Dance is right after it.
Mm-hmm.
So like I hear
crazy.
I hear Our Lawyer
opening three tracks.
I mean four because then Sugar is right after that.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
But, like, I hear Our Lawyer, and then I hear this, and then I hear Dance Dance, and I'm like, wow, Our Lawyer and Dance Dance are so good.
You don't like this one?
I like it, yeah. I just, like, forget about it sometimes.
Ah, interesting.
because it's sandwiched in between all of these like top tier Fall Out Boy songs.
Yeah. Also, beginning the first two tracks beginning with the letter O.
Yeah.
Throws me off.
Oh, true.
Two O's.
I never
two
thought
O's.
About that.
Two O's.
If you get enough of those, you will have Cheerios.
Awesome. Gotta get my bowl. Gotta have cereal.
So true.
Doing Rebecca Black Friday
gotta
references.
Get my bowl. Gotta have cereal.
Cereal. How you doing over there, buddy?
Just waiting.
Lot of
waiting for the next waiting for the next moment to interject.
Yeah. Dom, what is your relationship with this song?
I love this song. This was
they have been dating for 8 years.
This record, well, the record that it's on is a record that has been with me for a very long time. One of the first records I purchased on CD. These first two songs, especially Our Lawyer into Gin Joints, are amazing because I would always skip Dance and Sugar just because like we've heard it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
But my relationship with this song is I love the bridge so much. I love how it dips down, only vocals for a minute.
Yeah.
And then guitar, and then it brings everything back and then mm-hmm. into the last
so
chorus.
So awesome. Yeah.
And into a double time chorus for a
so
second.
Dope. So
it's
dope.
Awesome. I love the arrangement of it. As a guitar player too, like that opening riff is a little weird.
Yeah.
At first to like learn it as like someone that was learning like all
it doesn't start on the one.
No. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's got that weird swing to it the entire yeah. song. It's like that's awesome. That's just
so cool.
But I love the song.
Just the songwriting in this genre was not at this level at all. No. I don't think.
No.
You know, like I can't really think of a band that was in their contemporaries that was doing something this interesting and also on top of it having like incredible hooks. We're talking about Boys Night Out on the Patreon a little bit.
one of my favorite bands, well, their first, I really like their first record, but like, so it's such an underwhelming set.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bummer. I told Dawson about the Red Bubble Knocked Loose jersey.
That was crazy. Because I saw this jersey, and then for those that are on the Patreon, you should be, but it's the basis
pretty
of this band.
$5 a month.
The basis of this band called Boys Night Out was playing their first show in 15 years. And the dude is wearing a Knocked Loose jersey that has Knocked Loose on the front. It's a white jersey with pink lining, and the letters are pink, and the Barbie font. Mm. So it's Knocked Loose and Barbie, and on the back it says No Mates, 80. And I'm like, where did you get this? Because like, I've been a fan of Knocked Loose for many, many years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm not ever have seen them put out a piece of merch like cash grabby or cringy or like in the moment, because I felt like, oh, Barbie's really popular. Let's make some Barbie merch. They would never be the band to do that. So I was like, where did you get this shirt, man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Just like a weird bootleg item where it was, yeah.
Yeah, and you're
like, I saw a video of it later. Maddie showed me a video of the set, and I was like, oh, that's not real merch at all.
No. And then you're wearing it at a hardcore fest.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's very funny. It's very
where
funny.
A lot of people are like you and will probably clock that it's not real Knocked Loose merch.
Yeah, yeah. You're not even really a merch head.
Yeah, I'm not a merch head, but you know.
No, but you'll get some.
Could I'd be searching for head regardless.
Give me some of that.
Come
yeah.
on. Come on.
Come on. Come on.
Come on,
fellas.
I love video.
Come on, fellas.
I love looking.
Hey, who here likes head?
Woo!
Yeah!
I likes to get my dick sucked.
I likes to get my dick sucked while I get penis.
All right. I think that this song is also pretty amazing lyrically.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically the bridge that you're talking about where there's like, it just drops out and there's vocals. It's such a good little note and pretty daring. Mm-hmm. You have to have obviously it's Patrick Stump, but you have to have a pretty confident singer to just be like, yeah, we're just going to do vocals mm-hmm. for yep. a minute. Pretty awesome.
Because like, I think given the context of the band now, we all know Patrick is an amazing vocalist.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
But at the time, he was doing pretty interesting things on Take This to Your Grave, but it wasn't at the level of that it is now. Mm-hmm. But on this record, you can really see like a lot of the runs or a lot of like vocally doing something way outside of the box, and then mm-hmm. going like completely just isolated vocals on this part is something that they wouldn't have done on the previous record.
No, absolutely not.
And he is talented enough to do it.
Yeah. And at this point, he's become so good, and he's become so good at both singing and writing great little earwormy hooks, which like I would call, this is an instance of them writing a song where the entire thing is a hook.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Where like, I know the melody from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, that "you only hold me up like this," like that could be a chorus, mm-hmm. but it's the start of the song. So like, it's awesome. It's just super, super great. Dawson, any standout lyrics to you? I'm slouching.
He's slouching. This is the Sloucher podcast where we slouch.
Slouchers only.
Slouchers only. Yeah, I agree that this song is pretty great lyrically throughout. I think "we're making out inside crashed cars" is pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I also love like the intro, like is like the O's are not the core. Like I feel like a song like this, like the
dude, I forgot about that until you just said it.
I feel like another band would have made that the chorus,
would produce the fuck out of it,
and would have put like words and like shit over that. But it's like, nope, we're just gonna do that as like an intro and like a post chorus into
a
verse.
And that part is like a single. Like it's a single vocal with a harmony, isn't it? And the mm-hmm. harmony doesn't come until later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, any other band would have made that like five layers. Yeah, you know,
it's like we got to hammer in this melody, man. It's great.
Yeah, I straight up forgot about it until you just said it.
It's awesome.
Yeah, starting the song with that is like, ah, here's the chorus.
Yeah, gotcha. It's like it's that weird guitar line, and then straight into and mm-hmm. then you know other layers on top of that, but.
I love the lyric. "I used to waste my time dreaming of being alive. Now I only waste it dreaming of you."
I think that's a good.
So fun. That's such a good line. The annotation for that is, "he used to be outgoing and social, but now all he wants to do is be with her all the time." This comes up later in the album on the song "Get Busy Living or Get Busy Dying" with the lyric, "I used to obsess over living. Now I only obsess over you."
It's not as egregious as some of the other, like it's not as out there as some of the other comparisons that they
do. No.
At least it's on the same album.
It's on the same album, and also it's basically the same lyric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a mirror.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I'm not upset at that.
Yeah. No. It doesn't make me that mad.
I think the annotation
also,
on
they doing doggy style in this song.
They fucking big mode in this song. It's crazy.
Let's see if they have anything to say about that. On the lyric, "and oh, the way your makeup stains my pillowcase like I'll never be the same. The makeup staining his pillowcase is like the stain she will leave on his life. He is never going to forget her, and like a lot of things at a young age, this experience will change him forever." This plays well with the title of the song, which is a line in Casablanca. "Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine." Basically, what are the chances that he'd meet this girl who brings this type of relationship when there are so many out there? Somebody underneath 2 years ago goes, "could also be an allusion to the doggy style position." This album is littered with innuendo.
Capital D on doggy style.
I love some. Wait, when was? Can you see when the first one was posted? Like the original,
like the original annotation. Hang on, let me look.
I'd love like no, if that was like for like 15 years, and someone 2 years ago was like, "yeah," or just like sex.
It's like fucking doggy style, you know? Fucking
yeah, or just like banging, maybe.
Yeah, like that's cool. Or also like, you know, he's that just also, getting it.
I mean, it could be that he's, you know, just giving it to her slick style, you know. Yeah.
Just giving it to a nasty style.
It could be that they're slopping it up in there.
I don't like
that.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
I think a couple of these annotations are like that, in that they kind of like they get the meaning, but they don't really get how it gets there.
Yeah.
It's like the makeup staining is like, yeah, it's like he'll remember her for a while, but how did the makeup get there?
Yeah, they haven't figured that part
They just don't
yet.
Get
yeah,
to that.
They haven't figured that part yet.
And then it's also
well,
like
I don't
on
know.
The,
maybe it was, you know, her
maybe
pillow,
they had
her
a pillow
maybe,
fight.
Maybe she put her makeup on a pillow and gave it to him. I don't know.
Maybe
we
she
don't,
drew a
we
Joker.
We don't know.
We'll
we
never
don't
know.
She drew the Joker on it and gave it to him, and that's how it got there.
Yeah. And she's Harley Quinn.
And okay. They had the worst couple's costume at the party.
They had the worst couple's costume.
Who, we're going to shock the
Halloween
costume party.
Anyone who dare disrespect his queen.
No one will ever do this.
No one has done this.
But yeah, the annotation.
Babe, if you're watching, idea.
Babe, if you're watching, stop fucking suggesting the Joker and Harley Quinn as a couple's costume.
Is she actually?
Yes.
Please do it.
No.
What if we both do it? What if you and your girlfriend do it, me and my girlfriend do it? And also, Shay and Dom do it. Three, a triple Joker, Harley Quinn. Couples.
You show up to the party, it's like, is this a Joker party?
What is this?
That would be such a good bit, dude. You just show up to this, everyone at the same party. You know what I mean?
Everyone, all... same party, three Joker couple costumes.
Yeah. Which is just an excuse to look at your friend's girlfriend's tits.
And your friend's
the weird guy. I got this great idea.
I got this awesome
Dude,
idea.
I have this great idea.
You gotta
idea.
Get your girlfriend in this suit, man.
You gotta get your girlfriend to dress up as sexy Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
For Christmas.
But I don't even like comic books. You gotta do it.
You gotta do it. It'll
Come
be
on,
so
man.
Good.
Why so serious?
It'll be so funny.
Why so serious, Brian? Come on.
It'll be so funny and epic.
Get your girl in the Harley Quinn costume. Make sure it's low cut.
I got the link. Don't worry.
I got the link. We're all gonna get them the same costume.
I got this link on
you
Amazon.
You can look at my girlfriend's tits. It's fine.
It's the bikini variation. All right, you gotta
it's the
put
bikini
this
variation.
One on.
It's from the Arkham Asylum series of video games.
You gotta get a size too small too.
Yeah,
they come big. Yeah. They just come big.
They come
She's
big,
a medium. Right? Get her a small.
They're too big when, like, I've looked up the reviews that they say they're too big.
I hate that this has probably been a conversation that has happened.
Oh, yeah.
At, like, I don't know, University of Alabama.
If you talk to your friend and or friend's girlfriend like this, you got to kill yourself.
You have to kill yourself.
You have to kill
you
yourself.
You have to,
kill
to do it, man.
Any other funny annotations? Oh, I did want to point out, I love that the second verse, same as the first, basically. Yep. But... on the second one, he syncs up with a drum fill where he goes, "Dreaming of you." Mm-hmm. I love that little change.
It's
very
so
fun. Very, very fun.
So epic. But there's a funny annotation on we're making out inside crash cars. It's like a similar situation where they kind of get the meaning but don't get how to get there. They say he knows this is three contributors, by the way. He knows the relationship is doomed to fail eventually, as evidenced by the crashed cars. If a car represents the relationship, the crash represents its inevitable and tumultuous ending. This line also suggests they rely on physicality in a relationship that should have ended a long time ago. And then someone in the comments goes, silly red Converse 6 months ago says, long the car crash hearts,
silly
y'all.
Red Converse.
Wait, what?
Long the car crash hearts, y'all. Forgot
like
a word there.
The other song.
Yeah,
that's fucking
long. The car
awesome.
Crash hearts.
Long the car crash hearts. Yeah,
I think it's crazy that this annotation has three contributors and it's still kind of confusing.
Yeah,
because it's like when I see that line, I'm like, oh, okay, like, you know, making out inside a car is a pretty classic like juvenile thing to do. Mm-hmm. Like you're in high school or whatever, you're in your dad's car and then you make out with your girlfriend in the car, like classic. And then like crashed cars, you know.
I didn't realize
relationship sucks or whatever, and then like, but then this.
Do you read that as
like
the relationship is bad?
Kind of like it could be that, or it could be like.
I'd make out with you anywhere.
I'd
baby.
Make out with you anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, just me. Like, I don't know, just kind of sick.
Yeah, or maybe know? They're like bad for each other, and they don't really give a shit about it. In that moment, but I mean,
I honestly like I. That line comes to me as like, I'll like I'll Love You Anywhere
kind of thing. Yeah, yeah, that's kind of, I kind of interpret this song as kind of a nice song. Mm. I don't think there's anything bad going on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I could see that too.
I didn't realize this wasn't an 8-Ball song.
Really?
They did not bring this back. They have not played this since 2007.
Damn.
Wait, they didn't play this on the last two years of tour?
They did not.
Really? That's crazy.
Very surprising. And the last time they played it, they also covered Mr. Brightside.
Awesome.
So they're pretty awesome.
So they're pretty freaking sweet.
Pretty freaking, so that was a pretty freaking sweet show.
They played XO right before Mr. Brightside. Fucking vibe change if I've ever heard of one.
Okay, let's play an awesome song and then like
another awesome song.
I will say, like, that was before it was a meme.
And then another awesome song.
I love awesome that song. Right?
It's a great song if I don't hear like every band playing it.
Yeah. So Fall Out Boy's next show is when we were young.
Yeah.
And I thought for a second that I was like, oh, they actually will play this song because they're doing an album playthrough. And then I remembered they're the only band not doing never an album playthrough when we were young.
So I was about to go to their Riot Fest set a couple weeks ago. And I was like, prepared to. And then something came up and I didn't go. The set list was so underwhelming, even though like on the website it says like days of Fall Out Boy's past. Mm-hmm. And like that's what it says for the Riot Fest set and the one where we're on sets. And it was like very underwhelming set. Mm-hmm. I thought for sure it was going to be like all hits or like class. Like,
sure. Yeah.
For the most part it was. But I think, I don't know.
Like what were you expecting that they didn't do?
I don't know. Some other, like, they're a band that has so many hits though.
Yeah.
And like so many, like even like hits in the deep cuts.
Oh, big
where it's
time,
like,
yeah,
it's hard to hit all
when,
of
like,
that.
How many bands do you know where a bonus track from their third album is like a gigantic fan favorite?
Yeah.
Like there are very, very few bands have that status.
They're in a bad spot because of that. It's like, how do you,
that's why they were playing like 36 songs on the last 2 years of touring. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have a situation where like I was at the show, last year and they played the bonus track or the new song on the Greatest Hits record.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even really like that record. I don't even really like that song. It's your favorite song.
It's my favorite Fall Out Boy song.
And then I was like, yeah, they didn't play like Coffees for Closures or something. You're like, but they played, I don't even know what the song is
from
called.
Now on We Are Enemies.
Yep. They played that song. Didn't care.
I don't know how you don't care about that.
Didn't care. I don't think I just listened to it enough.
Thug don't care.
Dog don't care. you're my best friend. But yeah, that's
well,
okay.
You know, that's all right. It's not Copies for Closures.
Closers.
I mean, yeah, but like
closers.
That's a.
You're
I mean
closures.
I'm sorry.
Two different words.
It's been a long
Let
day.
Let him talk.
No.
He wasn't with it?
No.
Yeah, I know.
That'll make me crazy.
It's making me crazy right now. Jamaican me crazy.
What's oh my god, there's one song that I think closers. Whenever I hear that.
Closers. I just have a bad time talking.
No, you don't. You're great at talking. Mm. That's why you're on the podcast. Yeah. If you were bad at talking, I wouldn't ask you to be on.
Hard.
Until you kick rocks.
Hard.
Hard?
Yep.
You're hard right now?
No. Talking hard.
Right now. Oh, talking.
Talking is hard. Album 2 by Walk the Moon. Pretty good record.
Yay.
Mm. I love Walk the Moon. Yay.
Yeah. I can't believe they're not doing an album. They're the one band that's not doing.
They've
an
always
album.
Said that though. Like even when they came back, they're like, "Well, we're never doing album plays."
I mean, good for them for sticking to it. Like
I thought they
don't need to. Like they never need to.
They never need to.
But
also,
it would be so sick.
I'm getting tired of album plays.
I am too. It's getting played out because we have bands like.
We're doing one in December. I can't really talk shit, but like.
I think it's fine for like when it like right
it's
when
a
it comes
show,
out,
yeah.
And if it's like a one-off anniversary kind of thing. But doing a whole tour around it, buddy, you're gonna get tired of that.
Yeah.
We have so many bands that are like doing album plays for albums that weren't even like a staple.
You might have to bleep this one, but that.
That was just me being me.
I love talking shit.
I gotta be me. Gotta let me be me.
Gotta let me do me.
Gotta let me be me.
Gotta let me be me.
I just love being me.
I'm gonna quote someone that's never done anything wrong. I'm a peacock. I gotta fly.
I'm a cock. I got a cock.
I got a cock.
Dumb, you got
all right, well, we're back. We had to cut all of that shit. So, yeah, I mean, the album playthrough thing is getting played out.
Again, kudos to them for not doing it, but I don't know. It would be sick. It would be sick if they did.
The Loathe one was awesome because it was 2 years after the record came out, and they were just like, we want to play this record all the way through. Sorry.
I think that's sick because
that,
like,
was awesome.
Because
that was sick.
That was the record that really made them them.
Yeah, they didn't get to tour it off of COVID, and it got so big during COVID that they were like, we're just going to play this album.
Honestly, I think that's really cool. I
thought it was dope.
I think the album playthrough, if you're going to be a headliner and the album is new, do it.
Also, surprise album playthroughs are awesome.
Mm.
Minus the Bear did that one time.
Really?
They came up on the Patreon too.
I love that band.
I fucking love that. How have we never talked about that band?
That's a great band. That's underrated band, I feel like.
Very, extremely. Just like some of the craziest guitar work I've ever heard. And it makes sense. I mean, that guy was also in Botch. But I saw Minus the Bear at Shaky Knees, and just out of nowhere, they played Menace El Oso just all the way through.
Mm.
It was 2015.
Was that not advertised?
Nope, not at all.
That's crazy.
They just showed up, and they were like, this is called Menace El Oso. And they played it all the way through.
That's,
and I was like,
really,
this is so awesome.
Oh, I'm gonna watch a band you're like. Oh, they're gonna play the album that I like?
Oh, they're sick. Gonna play my favorite album? This is amazing.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
There's like Fall Out Boy is so big, they could do, I mean, like, I feel like if you like Fall Out Boy, obviously, like, we all think Fall Out Boy is their best, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I would go see them play any album all the way through.
I would go see them play any album all the way through.
Maybe not.
Pre-hiatus.
Maybe not two of them. But
yeah. Pre-hiatus. But,
yeah.
Well, actually, The latest one I would see all the way through.
Yeah. I mean, they're playing like 8 songs from it right now. So
I'd go to the bathroom during So Good right now, but, you know.
They're not playing that one. That one in.
I'm just saying, like, for an album playthrough, if they did that.
I like the Bruno Mars song, Kill Me.
What a time to be alive.
I love that song too.
Awesome.
Yeah. That song is awesome.
When they've been doing it, it's just been Patrick at a piano.
That would be awesome.
I assume because they don't want to play to tracks out the ass.
Yeah, it's just all strings and drums.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'll take
There's a pretty crazy guitar solo in it, isn't there? That's the song with the insane guitar solo.
I don't remember.
Where I was like, God damn, Patrick Stump can shred.
Can't remember.
I think it is that song. I was like, this motherfucker's shredding on a damn Gretsch.
I love that song.
That song's awesome.
But yeah, I mean, even if they did like a Fall Out album thing, like, it would sell so well.
Mm-hmm. It would sell great.
I mean, if they did Cork Tree or Take This to Your Grave, it would be crazy.
And they could also still do a set of greatest hits after. Like, everyone would still stay.
Oh, yeah.
I think maybe if they do it, they're waiting to cash in on it. Like, kind of the same way that, like, I hold on to my Starbucks points until I'm really broke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where I'm just like, I have 1,000 points in the app, but, like,
imagine being
I don't need to use them right now.
Imagine being a band and putting out, like, okay, I know I'm on the Fall Out Boy podcast, but
You're good.
Imagine putting out like 3 pretty bad records. Mm-hmm. Like, at least if half your record is bad, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Can we all agree on that? All
right.
Yeah.
Sure. I've never heard that principle before.
If half your record is bad, it's bad.
No. I understood what you were saying. I got it first time.
No.
If half your record is bad, it's bad.
If it's a 12-song record and there's 6 bad songs, it's
half
bad.
Half of 12 is 6.
Yeah.
If 6 songs are bad, it's a bad record.
Cool, I get it now. Thanks.
Okay. they've done that, and they're still, like, the biggest band.
Yeah.
So, like, they could do whatever that... You're right. Like, they could do whatever they want.
Yeah.
So, I mean... But I don't see them ever falling off. So they'll never do album plays.
I mean, I hope they don't fall off, but, like, I think when you've been off of a record cycle for how much time is between Mania and So Much for Stardust? 6 years?
Something like that.
5?
I think it was like the same.
Five.
I think it was the same amount of time between Foley and, say, Rock and Roll.
That's right. Yeah. So
5 years.
So when you're off record cycle for 5 years and you can't really headline other than in your hometown, at least not the rooms that you were doing before, I would call that falling off as much as Fall Out Boy can fall off, but they saved themselves with so much for Stardust.
Fall Off Boy, more like.
And I think that's bought them a good amount of time. Like, even if half the next one's bad, which does make it bad, by the way.
Yeah.
I think that they'll be fine. Got his ass.
My own joke.
Yeah, I think they've bought themselves some good career time. For like, sure. I think that if they had done another Mania, or if they had made a record that was even big, even a bigger failure than Mania, I think they would then have to be like, it's dire. We have to go play Cork Tree, or we have to go play Infinity sure. on High in full. But like, I just really don't ever see that. I don't ever see that happening.
Yeah. I don't think
maybe
I ever like
50.
I mean, maybe.
I would say then, they'd sooner quit before they did that, I think. Like, I think if they put out
What do you think it is then? Like, is it just like
I think they just don't like the idea. I think they just think it sucks. Like, and
I think they are very much for individuals who want to please everyone. And I think that they have had they
but
had
if they
a whole
want to
new
please,
wave.
If they want to please everyone, they would play the album.
That's not necessarily true, though, because they had a whole new wave of fans come in on Save Rock and Roll, where like
that's
we
true.
Have friends, like people who've been on this podcast, where their intro to that band was that record. So
that's
that is their
so
favorite
crazy
record.
To me.
It's yeah. insane.
I
yeah.
need names.
And then they have Rebecca James,
crazy.
Whitney Jordan,
Whitney Jordan, yeah.
crazy.
And then they had a whole other new wave of fans in between Mania and So Much for Stardust, because all those kids came of age. All the kids that would like hear Centuries when they were 7 or 8 years old, they all came of age and they were like, oh, shit, this band's good. I know a bunch of songs by them.
No, that's true. I love college football. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, when you essentially have three or even four different groups of fans that all came in at different times, like, you can't really please everybody at that point, but they sure do try. And, you know, it ends up being this thing of, like, you know, the OGs, as we are, or maybe, I guess, technically second generation, since I didn't really come in until Infinity and
second gen OGs.
Second gen OGs.
I wouldn't
OGs.
Call myself even that, because
I wasn't calling you that, no.
You pointed to everybody.
We were.
No, I was yeah. talking to him. I'm sorry, Dawson. That was very rude.
I can kill myself at any point.
I know.
Just dunking on your coat. Only here, folks.
Yeah, I mean, it leaves us. I think that no matter what show we go see, there is going to be some element of disappointment. But I think that's okay. I mean, like.
Well, that also just comes with a band that's been around as long as they have.
That too.
Like, and with as many records
with
as they
eight
do.
Eight albums too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eight Eight's is a lot. So many records.
Dude, when I saw Everything Everything open up for Keen this past month.
You saw Keen?
Keen?
Did you
stay?
Were they awesome?
I didn't stick around for Keen.
Fuck you.
You
left
before
Keen?
Yeah.
You left before the first song?
No. Everything Everything opened for Keen.
I know, no, but. Did you stay for at least one song of Keen's?
No.
Dang.
I wanted to go home.
That sucks.
I was
Keen's
tired.
Awesome.
Keen's
a great band.
Listen, my thing is, if I'm seeing a band live and I don't, like, if it's not like a local band where I don't know their whole discography anyway most of the time, if it's like a big band, like a legacy act, and I don't know shit about them, like, I know Somewhere Only We Know, obviously, but like, I don't know anything else about them. I 9 times out of 10, I don't get shit out of the show, and I'm just standing there, and I'm like,
Keen is like mom rock, but like dope,
so dope.
I mean,
Keen is secret dope music.
I'm
for
I'm
sure.
sure. I would like them if I checked them out, but I just haven't checked them.
Keen
out.
Is
this
like
is
if,
also
if Train had sex.
Oh, I hate Train. That's awesome.
Train fucking sucks.
I saw Train open for Hall & Oates, and then my dad was like, this, like, whoever this is cool. I'm like, yeah, I'm getting beers. Like, like shut up.
What year
dude.
Was that?
It had to be. It was like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Did you see the Hall & Oates Tears for Fears tour?
No.
That was amazing. That was like 2017, awesome. I think. That sounds awesome. Fucking incredible.
Yeah, I think this was like 2019, maybe.
Hall & Oates, one of the many bands killed by COVID.
I love them.
I fucking love Hall & Oates, dude. The best, so fucking good.
The best pop music ever.
Dude,
but
awesome.
Yeah, when I saw, like, I went to that show for Everything Everything, because they're my favorite band ever, and they only had like a 30-minute time slot, so they played like 6 songs, and like no matter how you slice it, there's gonna be songs that I wish they would have played.
Yeah,
but like it's just a matter of like looking at it and being like, okay, could this have been worse? Could they have whipped out some stinkers? Definitely. And like they didn't. So.
Yeah. One time, and I feel like this is a pretty rare experience with this band. Laudispute was opening for Thrice,
mm-hmm.
and I think that very quickly into the tour, they realized the set list wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And so at the Atlanta date of that tour, Laudispute just pulled out every hit, and it was one of the only nights they did that, and I was like,
sick.
Fuck yeah. I was like, this is fucking awesome.
Hell yeah.
Like, they just realized they're like, we are gonna have to play King Park. I was like, you sure do, buddy.
I have a funny Love Speed story.
Oh, do you?
Yep. They were playing, I think it was a headliner, and
Hell? Title Fight Hotelier?
Nope.
Okay.
I saw that tour, though.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
We were at that show together.
Awesome.
But we didn't know.
I don't think we did.
We didn't know each other, no.
No.
Sorry,
A great, that was a great show.
So
great.
Good. Show.
This is fairly recently. I forget, I was seeing a different show at the Mask, and they're headlining Heaven, and it wasn't Halloween, but it was October, and
that Wildlife anniversary.
I guess so, and the singer was dressed like Fred Durst, and I walked in, and I was like, what is happening right now?
Yeah.
And I completely forgot, like, oh, Halloween is around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And they played Break Stuff, didn't they?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
I was
so
like,
awesome.
This is crazy.
Well, so we share a sound guy with Laudispute. Like, they do us, Laudispute, and Foxing. They ended up pulling out the Break Stuff cover. Not just for Halloween, because they
That's
like
fun.
Doing it so much.
That's real fun.
I mean, like, for all the seriousness that that band brings in, like, they are fucking goofballs.
I don't know.
I have an off-pod story about him.
Okay.
I'll tell you.
That was us doing Santeria at Coachella.
That's funny.
Because we
That's
pulled
awesome.
It out for a corporate gig where we had to fill, like, an hour of time. So we were like, fuck it, let's learn Santeria. And then... we were gearing up for Coachella at Georgia Tech, and we were like, what if we played Santeria again for all these college kids? And it went off so great.
Oh, I bet.
Can you play it at Christmas on Mars, too?
I don't know. I mean, we could, but we're secret pod information. We might be trying to play a new one.
Oh, cool.
So if we're doing that, we're not playing a cover.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, I'd be honored if you pulled out a new one for the show.
Hell yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Let's rate this thing, yeah?
Yeah. 8 out of 10.
I'm going 8.
8.5.
Doing a decimal point like a pussy.
We established very early in this pod that half scores are for pussies.
Like
so
pussy?
You're going to have to pick a solid number, brother.
8 or 9, buddy.
9.
You want it to be
there
a 9.
Go.
Yeah,
nine.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
9.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
9. 9, it's a 9.
A half score is just wanting it to be the one higher than that.
Yep.
Get a fucking grip, asshole.
Did you say yours?
Yeah, 8.
2 8s and a 9.
Mm-hmm. 2 8s and a 9. Pretty
two
good.
2 8s and a 9. That's
what's the wheel? Wheel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you so much for listening. If you're still listening, if you're not, I have your home address, and I every second that you wait is a second that I am closer.
I have your VPN right now.
Follow Carson and I's bands at the Calistale Boys on Instagram, at Calistale Boys on Twitter. Follow my band at Bummer Hill on Instagram, at Bummer Hill ETL on Twitter. Follow Dom at Penguin by Dom on Twitter. Is it just Domaduri on Instagram?
No, it's
the same.
By Dom
it's still Penguin. All right.
I'm
Penguin
more active on Instagram.
Penguin by Dom on Instagram. If you're recording an album, hit up Dom, come to Toast and Jam Studio, yeah. Give him money.
Fill this guy's schedule.
Yeah.
Fill me.
Fill him. Fill him up.
Fill me up.
Follow the podcast at The Dreaded Wheel on Twitter. Subscribe to the Patreon, $5
There's
bucks a
so
month.
Many songs left. I know.
$5 a
Trust
month
me, every
gets
time
you
I look at it, I'm like,
extra
so
many episodes about other things that aren't Fall Out Boy.
I think it's fun if you keep talking and we also keep talking.
I don't think that's good radio at all.
But says you.
Yeah. Says me. But yeah.
Cool.
Patreon.
We've
been
press
posting
it?
There more frequently, yes. More consistently, and reaping the benefits of your money. So give us more money. Let's spin this damn wheel and get out of here.
It's spinning.
It's spinning. And it is...
We were doomed from the start.
Is this a B-side?
I think so. Hang on. Let me
I feel
me
like this is a B-side.
Which one this one is.
We were doomed from the start. With Dr. Doom and Fortnite. You know, they gave Dr. Doom 2 trillion health in
this
Fortnite.
This is a PAX AM Days song. Oh,
okay. Well, anyway, they gave Dr. Doom 2 trillion health in Fortnite.
Remember that record?
Fortnite players destroyed him in 2 hours.
Whoa.
I know.
That's kind of crazy.
Underestimated how much time it would take.
Fortnite gamers!
Fortnite gamers!
Goodbye.
My hand is out of frame because my arms are so long. All right, bye-bye.
Oh, my arms are so long. I'm so tall.
Kill yourself!